President Biden and former President Trump have agreed to two one-on-one debates.
The first on June 27th, hosted by CNN, before either candidate is declared the official nominee at their party's convention. And the second on September 10th, hosted by ABC News, just weeks before voters head to the polls. There will be no live audience, just the moderators and the candidates themselves in a television studio, face-to-face.
ABC Chief White House Correspondent Mary Bruce. The defense resumes its cross-examination today of Michael Cohen in former President Trump's New York criminal trial. The U.S. military has completed a massive floating pier, put it into place off the coast of Gaza, and it will allow for the delivery of desperately needed humanitarian aid. The temporary floating pier is expected to be up and running in the next couple of days. Slovakian Prime Minister Robert Fico expected to survive, says his deputy, after an assassination attempt. Fico was shot five times Thursday. This is ABC News. Testimony continues today in the corruption trial of New Jersey Senator Bob Menendez after his lawyers blamed the senator's wife in opening statements. The anniversary of an iconic Supreme Court decision being marked today at the White House.
President Biden today will meet at the White House with the plaintiffs of the Brown versus Board of Education case on the 70th anniversary of that landmark Supreme Court decision that ended racial segregation in America's public schools. It's the first in a series of events the White House says will honor the legacy of those who paved the way for progress and hard-fought rights for Black Americans. The president delivers remarks Friday at an NAACP event marking the anniversary of the Brown decision. He'll later meet with the leaders of the Divine Nine historically Black sororities and fraternities. And on Sunday, he delivers the commencement address at Morehouse College, an HBCU in Atlanta. Karen Travers, ABC News, the White House.
And the end of an era in Las Vegas. The Mirage Hotel on the Strip will close for good in mid-July to make room for a new Hard Rock Las Vegas set to open in 2027. Dave Packer, ABC News.
Meet the experts at Baldwin Woodville Insurance, Jeff Campbell and Michael Madison. With a wealth of over 50 years of combined experience, they've been your insurance partners on Main Street in Baldwin since 1938. Representing only the best insurance carriers, they specialize in commercial, farm, home, and auto coverage. At Baldwin Woodville Insurance, service is not just a promise, it's a commitment. Need assistance? They'll be there for you. Call today at 715-684-2400 and experience insurance excellence like never before.
An unsuspecting driver at a gas station in Wisconsin.
Welcome, Paul 15. How you doing?
Great.
Were you wearing your seatbelt today?
I never wear my seatbelt.
We're going to get him. We're going to get him real good.
Oh, my goodness.
Hello, sir. How you doing?
Dollar driver. Yeah,
it takes 1 second to strap a seatbelt on.
Well, let's do this. Let's do it together. Now, don't that feel better?
Donald Driver can't always be there to remind you.
Click it or tick it.
And let's reduce fatalities on Wisconsin roadways.
And I should have recognized your voice when you're harassing
me. I'm watching you.
Sponsored by Wisconsin DOT.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. There'll be two special elections in Wisconsin this year to fill vacant seats. One of them will be for state senate in Milwaukee in July. The other will be for U.S. House in northeast Wisconsin in November. The winners will replace Lena Taylor and Mike Gallagher. Governor Evers announced the dates this week. Wisconsin is waiting to see how the state Supreme Court rules on allowing absentee ballot drop boxes this year. Janelle Ludwig Krause is a voting advocate in western Wisconsin. She says all kinds of voters vote absentee.
Farmers who need to be on their field when the conditions are dry, it makes it possible for parents that are juggling a million things to cast a ballot, for people with disabilities, for elderly people.
Opponents say it's too easy to use drop boxes to commit voter fraud. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
Brewers bombard the Pirates. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Pittsburgh jumped out to an early 1-0 lead. Then the Brewers turned it into a home run derby. Milwaukee with five batters with home runs on the way to a 10-2 victory over the Pirates to win the series. It started with William Contreras and his shot to right field in the third. The Brewers' Joey Ortiz.
Yeah, usually William is the one to open the floodgates with anyone. He's hitting extremely well right now, and so when he gets going, it's pretty fun.
Brewers manager Pat Murphy.
I was pleased with today's effort at the plate. You know, Ortiz, sneaky, has been good against righties and lefties, and Churio looks like he's gaining some confidence. Contreras is out of his mind. Like, it's epic what he's doing.
NFL schedules are out, and the Packers will be playing on Thanksgiving, this time in prime time at home against the Dolphins. College basketball, UW Green Bay introducing Doug Gottlieb as their new head basketball coach.
Places like Wisconsin, those are the places that are special, and it really feels like home. Like, Wisconsin's a place where people still wait for you at the airport.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
A chance of an isolated shower or thunderstorm through early this afternoon, then becoming partly cloudy with a high near 70 today. The wind will be out of the west at 5 to 15. Tonight, clear 49. Tomorrow, sunshine 80. Saturday, a late-day thunderstorm, otherwise sunny, with a high of 82. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 53.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we talk all things sports balls with the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel's J.R. Radcliffe. Weather and wine with Brittany Merlot at 11:50. Join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10. This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on this Thursday morning, May 16th, 2024. It's another beautiful, if slightly wet day to have you here up north. Live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're listening across the Civic Media Radio Network, the Civic Media app, or, he said, looking directly into the camera, those of you watching through social media, and those of you listening by podcast, thank you for coming along and taking us along on your day. You can reach us here at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-75-CIVIC. You can call that number. You can text that number, and we'll see it here on our screen. And you can also comment on social media, and we'll maybe put that on your screen right back at you. I've got a question for you. Could you use a good old fat? We had a good old fashioned made up conspiracy theory the other day here about Northern Lights. Could you use a new made up conspiracy theory about the gold package for Green Bay Packers tickets? Because it's something that looks suspicious when maybe it's just a coincidence. But we'll talk about it in just a little bit. Also ahead on the program this morning, of course, Joe Zepecki will be here to discuss what were Republicans thinking from a strategic standpoint in holding that photo op at the Capitol this week, attempting to override vetoes when they knew they could not override the vetoes. In the second hour, we will have Representative Lee Snodgrass from the Fox Valley as part of our Women Win Wisconsin segment powered by Motherhood for Good. And we will recap the latest episode of Top Chef Wisconsin, which gets into the overlooked but increasingly revered culture of indigenous cuisine in a show episode called The Good Land. So we'll get into all that and much more coming up yet this morning. Temperatures around Wisconsin at 6 a.m. look like this. Lake Wissota is at 53 degrees. Hayward at 51. Park Falls, 46. Wausau, 50. Green Bay's at 44 right now, La Crosse 57, Wisconsin Rapids 53, Oshkosh 50. It says here Madison's at 53 and Waukesha's at 43, although I think the place has probably warmed up a bit more just with the arrival of the sunny disposition of one Greg Bach. Mr. Bach, good morning, resplendent in his City Connect Brew Crew powder blue jersey. How are you?
I'm feeling confident, and that's it. I was trying to think of other words that begin with C, and I couldn't think of anything else.
It's a City Connect jersey. You just need to feel connected to the city.
I feel confident and connected.
There you go. I think that works out well.
Yeah, I mean, because we were talking about the Brewers last night at the open mic, and I was reading an article where these stats websites are now starting to redo their outcomes because the Brewers aren't doing as terrible as they expected.
Mwahaha, just as we planned.
Wait a second. Hold on.
Take that, all you people.
Yeah, exactly.
Who bet way too much on sports and now don't have rent money for next month.
Right.
That'll learn you.
My goodness.
Yeesh. You know, yesterday was another one of those days, and it happened, I think, a week or two ago on a Wednesday as well, where the Wednesday workload just got to be a bit much, which makes sense. I have a job. You know, sometimes you have to work.
Yeah.
But I get through the entire day, and I go, wait a minute. The Brewers played at noon. I was going to put that game on. You know, you're just going to put it on in the background. I've done that a couple of times. Didn't even get to that part.
Yeah.
So
the first thing I look, I'm like, at what time did the Brewers, they beat the Pirates? Okay, never mind, everybody. Go home. We missed that report.
I know. We thought, well, maybe we'll just watch the replay, you know, in the evening, and it'll be news to us. But
yeah, right.
Couldn't help myself. Looked ahead, saw that the Brewers had won handily, and said, okay, all right, fine. There are plenty of folks who, I shouldn't say that. There's not plenty of folks. There's a folk or two who don't like when we take a little too much time talking about sports things
instead of jumping right into
news of the day. Well, this is not the segment for you. We'll tell you about yesterday's Brewer game in just a moment. I'm about to get into the Packers revealing their 2024 schedule. But before I do even that, I just want to say this one thing about longtime ESPN radio host Doug Gottlieb being named to coach the basketball team at UW Green Bay. And he says he's still going to do his national daily radio show while he's coaching up in Green Bay.
That seems like a lot of work.
His line was, well, I know it'll be tough doing two jobs, but I'm currently doing seven. And I know he's got experience and everything, but I don't know if he appreciates just how full-time being a basketball coach is of a Division I program.
I think,
and I say this from somebody who does two jobs every day, I think he may find those two jobs a little too much.
I imagine even being a basketball coach at a decent high school is tough. You're never off. You're always working. And I'm really surprised the college is letting it. I'm surprised in the contract they didn't say, no, this is your job now, and we need you to focus. Because, I mean, folks, just so you know, when we get on the radio, it takes prep. It takes time. And I would love to be one of those guys who can be like, you know, I'm just going to talk for 2 hours like a big old idiot. But
guess what? Almost none of them do. Everybody preps at least a little something, and that takes a little time.
Yeah.
Or a lot of time.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
So. And so to do that and coach a Division I team, I don't know. We'll see.
Good luck.
Yeah, let's leave it at that. Yeah. So yes, yesterday the Packers schedule did come out for the new season. I'm going to get right to the conspiracy end of it first, because then there's a lot of actual fun little things to note about it. But let's start with the gold package. All right. For many, many years, the Packers played half their games at County Stadium in Milwaukee. And so those season ticket holders now have to go all the way up to Green Bay, for a couple of games a year, three this coming season. And that's what's called the gold package. The folks in the Green Bay area, their package is called the green one. Well, the new schedule is out. And what they're saying is that it was determined ahead of time that the gold package folks would get home games 2, 5, and 9, no matter who the opponents are. It turns out the Packers, they play some games against their division rivals and some not. There are three division rival games this year where the Packers are playing at Lambeau against the Vikings, the Bears, and the Lions, I believe. And those happen to come in weeks 2, 5, and 9. The gold package gets all the division home games this year.
My Uncle Ronnie is going to be happy.
There's some very happy gold package ticket holders, some very unhappy green package ones. And here's the thing that gets people in trouble or ignites just a huge firestorm. In this day and age, with everything bought and sold on the internet, it's easier than ever if you can't use tickets and you can't give them to a friend or a coworker or sell them to somebody, you put them up online. And the knock against the gold package is that there's too many folks who no longer want to make the trip up to Green Bay, and so they're the ones who sell their tickets online, and that it seems like the gold package home games are the ones that always have a lot more, you know, Carolina blue in the stands, shall we say, or purple or whatever the case may be, as other fans come in. But so what I'm about to say isn't just for those gold package holders, but for the green package holders as well. Stop selling your tickets to people who might be wearing purple or blue or burgundy or whatever the heck it is. Don't do it. There's plenty of people around you. Step outside your front door and say in a slightly louder tone of voice, "I got Packers tickets here.
Who wants to buy them?"
And there will be a line outside your door in short order.
Yeah.
I mean, good neighbor that way.
Is this a consistent thing with the gold package? Do they get these games, or is this a kind of a first time ever?
It's, well, I don't know that anybody's tracked it, but nobody can seem to recall when all three of the home division games for the entire season happened to go to the gold package. I can totally believe that, you know, the green package got all of them in various years. And we've heard people with both ticket sets, you know, carp about this or that. And so this year when we saw that all three division games were in the gold package, of course, people said.
Then I'm going to say for those people with the green package, just simmer down a little, okay? You have Packers season tickets. Let's start there.
That's where a lot of people start.
Okay, I have no sympathy for your...
And look, you get some great teams that are coming in. You get Thanksgiving night. We're hosting the Thanksgiving night game this year. Hosting the Miami Dolphins. They'll be coming to town for that. I'm scrolling down to the rest of the schedule where, I urge whoever designed the websites for the Journal Sentinel and all of the Gannett chain to, you know, be burned at the stake.
Google's not much better, my friend.
No.
But I will say what's very interesting about this season, we're not playing the Bears until the week before Thanksgiving.
Yeah, and then again, the last game of the season, which again is one of the flex games, so you don't know the time yet, and you don't know the network that it'll be on. And that's the thing, when you looked at, you know, like the opening game is going to be in South America, and it's going to be on Peacock. There's going to be a Prime Video game, there's going to, you know, it's basically, you know, nobody knows. At any given week, who knows what you're going to get. Starting Thanksgiving, the Packers have four primetime games in a row. A Thursday night on Thanksgiving, the next Thursday night, and then two more primetime games. So the schedules mean nothing anymore. So you should listen to your local civic media station, and we'll always keep you updated.
This was a plug.
That's right. It was all about that. And the Packers have traditionally, not always, but traditionally had road games during the gun deer season. Mm-hmm. But this year, both games that occurred during the season will be home games, and so it's not just green and gold, but the whatever network is showing the games, they always love showing all the blaze orange in the stands at Lambeau when it happens that time of year. So that part is pretty cool as well. All right, I wanted to get to the Brewers very quickly before we get a move on here, because they wrapped up the series with the Pirates in that day game that Pat completely forgot about. William Contreras went 3-for-5, 4 RBIs. He's got a 9-game hitting streak going. There were 5 Milwaukee homers off Pittsburgh's Martin Perez in the Brewers' 10-2 blowout of the Pirates. Your first place Brewers won 2 of 3 from the Pirates. They're off today, heading to the longest road trip of the season. 9-game road trip starting tomorrow in Houston. Freddie Peralta takes the mound in Houston pregame at 6:35 tomorrow. We'll unpack more of the news in just a bit, but first, wherever you're listening across Wisconsin on this Thursday morning, when you're here, you're up north. Live from Lake Wasota on the Civic Media Radio Network, I'm Pat Wrightlow. You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Up North News Radio.
The road construction season is underway, and you've probably noticed orange cones and barrels are back too. The world's leading manufacturer of these safety products is Lakeside Plastics. The family-owned business is based in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. Do you know why the cones were originally created more than 75 years ago? As a safety marker to keep drivers away from newly painted lines on the road, as an object for drivers to weave around to mark the tops of houses for small airplane pilots. The answer's coming up.
Message that we can get out. We need to have a safe work zone.
Safety is number one for Eric Witt. He's the I-41 project supervisor for the work between DePere and Appleton, where you'll be seeing a lot of those orange cones. Did you guess why the cones were originally created? To keep drivers away from wet paint lines on the road. Now, cones like those made at Lakeside Plastics in Oshkosh warn about any kinds of hazards ahead. That is one safe slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
The love you gave me, nothing else can save me. SOS.
You just need to know I'm obligated to play this. This is Pierce Brosnan singing in Mamma Mia. Trying to sing in Mamma Mia.
Oh, okay. All right. He's
I'm
more kind of like yelling.
Obligated.
He's like, how could I go on?
And urging that my wonderful, wonderful wife not drive off the road, you know, making, you know, middle fingers at the radio because she knows I tease her about this all the time. Pierce Brosnan is her, you know, has been her crush for, you know, back when we were all much younger. And he's, and I go along with it because the guy's flawless. The guy's flawless. I'd run off with him too if I could. until he tried to sing in Mamma Mia.
So that's it. He has one flaw, and that's the end for you. Dr. Kreitlow, wherever you are right now, I'm with you. Not only is the man, he's a great actor, he seems like a great human, but he's that guy who's like, he's now fully gray, and he's got that little bit of chin hair. Yeah. You're like, oh, you're just getting more handsome.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I should mention it's his birthday today. He's 71 years old today, so... Happy birthday, you beautiful, beautiful man. With, thank God, one flaw.
All right, Pat, it's your turn. Now you sing. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Oh, we put my flaws on display every morning at 6 a.m. We don't need to add to that list, okay? Shall we? Thank you so much. Appreciate that. Okay. Yesterday on the program, we talked about a bakery in Menominee Falls that unfortunately had to cancel what was billed as a drag queen story hour and cupcake decorating for children after getting threats of violence and all kinds of other hate, including from a member of the village board. And look, it would be very easy for me to say, given all the examples out there in the world, it would be very easy to dwell on the hate. There is a kicker for the Kansas City Chiefs. I'm not even going to share his name, much less all the ugly garbage that spewed out of his mouth over the weekend as he was delivering a commencement address at a religious college. The thrust of it was, all you gals about to get degrees, you know, it really means nothing. Your life doesn't start till you go home and start having babies and start being a wife rather than, you know, getting a job. He then, you know, ripped into President Biden. He ripped into anybody who is pro-choice. Everybody was, you know, essentially billed as a groomer who doesn't agree with him and his values. With any luck whatsoever, there's somebody on the Kansas City Chiefs that says, we're not really a place that embraces hatred. Why don't you go kick that little pigskin someplace else? Especially since if you're going to be all that biblical, you're not supposed to be touching a pigskin. It's right there in Leviticus. So why don't you pack up and head out? In fact, even Pat Mahomes, the quarterback for the Kansas City Chiefs, made clear in an earlier interview, and people weren't really sure why, but he was like, I talk to this guy once, maybe twice a year. That's it. You know, even though he sits like right next to him in team meetings. It would be easy to let, you know, hater type folks have the rule of the roost and get into your head. And I share all that just to say that every now and then the haters don't win. And that was the case yesterday when an activist investor at Kohl's who tried to lead a shareholder revolt in the name of being anti-woke fell woefully short in that effort. It was soundly defeated during the shareholder annual meeting on Wednesday, Ricardo Torres from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel writes that more than 94% of the votes cast by shareholders rejected the proposal from the so-called National Center for Public Policy Research, which wanted the company to review the company's charitable giving and the effect of the actions on the company's financial sustainability. And you know, the shareholders, again, 94% or so said, why don't you take a hike? At issue was, a $100,000 contribution by Kohl's to the Trevor Project. Now, this is a suicide prevention and crisis intervention organization that focuses primarily on LGBTQ youth, provides information and a 24/7 hotline for those in need of help. By that same token, the Menominee Falls Bakery was going to be helping a group called Courage MKE, which again works to get LGBTQ youth from broken homes who've maybe been kicked out by their parents, get them off the street, get them to a place of safety and feeling like they belong. But in the argument to Kohl's shareholders, the group that was trying to push the anti-woke agenda said that the Trevor Project, quote, openly pushes what is euphemistically referred to as gender-affirming care, but actually tries to transition youth from male to female by such means as puberty blockers. It's one example of the risk Kohl's is embracing by its radical partnerships and donations. And again, thankfully, shareholder said, get out of here with that. This is something where, again, we're allowing people, thanks to social media and so many more media choices than ever before, to be able to wrest away the microphone, at least for a little bit, and get their due. Now, they know, of course, that they're going to get all kinds of criticism, that Kansas City kicker. I mean, the videos as I was scrolling through TikTok last night, you know, just ripping into him, you know, would normally make you feel like, okay, there's a little bit of balance out there in the world. Unfortunately, all those comments and all the comments that the hateful people in Menominee Falls are racking up, that also equals engagement. Engagement on social media is like the coin of the realm, you know. So when you see something ugly on social media, you're of course tempted to say, I don't agree with you, you're a terrible person, but it also gives them the engagement that they want. So you want to just leave them be, and yet then they go unchallenged. So that's the quandary that we have in this social media age. And the, you know, the best advice that I can offer, I guess, is that it's maybe helpful to take some pleasure in other people who choose to engage with the people who have very dark hearts. It doesn't mean that you necessarily have to. We can take just a moment like this in this segment to acknowledge it, and then let's move on. There are other things that there are plenty of other things that affect our lives on a day-to-day basis. Maybe one of those things is writing out a check to Courage MKE or the Trevor Project or volunteering with a group near you to make sure that troubled youth, LGBTQ or otherwise, have a place to go and don't get into trouble. There's so many ways to be more productive in a community than, you know, than we know. And we don't just have to give all the attention to hateful people and not do what we can to help others. One other note to share is that there will be presidential debates, apparently, in June and in September. I would spend a lot of time on that now, but I found some really nice people to spend some time with the subject tomorrow. Of course, that would be Mark Jacob, who helps us every Friday morning at 7:30, one of my favorite people on social media, posting about media conduct and things like presidential debates. But another one of my favorites and a friend of his, Jennifer Schultz, also a Chicago News veteran. And again, one of my absolutely favorite people to read her posts about, you know, media and politics. She's going to join us as well because she wrote a column recently that really echoed a lot of what I was thinking in terms of what presidential debates need to do to be better, to not become spectacles. And hopefully that's what we're going to get this year with something as simple as shutting Trump's mic off when his time is up. So we'll talk more about that tomorrow at 7:30. Joseph Pecky joins us next. You're up north. Nothing else can save me.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Global political disruptions are also disrupting the prices you pay for agricultural inputs. I'm Pam Yonke, starting you off before the opening bell on a Thursday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news. I'm not sure we always stop and think about the unrest in the Middle East, what's happening between Russia and Ukraine, as upsetting the apple cart when it comes to the prices we're paying here in Wisconsin for our agricultural goods. But it does. Corey Rosenbusch, president and CEO of the Fertilizer Institute, says the United States depends on a lot of areas around the world for critical fertilizer components.
Yeah, so the two priorities on Farm Bill, one is critical minerals. So when Russia invaded Ukraine and we saw some of this volatility happen because we suddenly awoke to this idea that we are a net importer, and even those events in a country like Russia that's the largest supplier globally of fertilizer can impact prices here, that makes a big impact. And so what we wanted to do is to ensure a policy environment existed that would allow for the maximum use and production of our domestic fertilizer to complement that import. That was through designating phosphate and potash as a critical mineral.
Corey Rosenbusch, president and CEO of the Fertilizer Institute, talking about critical minerals that the United States needs from around the world, and including some of those conversations in on the Farm Bill. Markets in overnight electronic trade this morning. Looks like corn and beans are a little soft. I'll get you the numbers next.
Imagine planting, tending, and raising your crops all season long, only to discover a micronutrient deficiency is robbing your yield potential. Once you spot signs of nutrient deficiencies, it can be difficult to bounce back. Get ahead of manganese, boron, and copper deficiencies with Moxin from CHS. Designed with a patented Levisol chelate, Moxin increases nutrient availability and provides your crops with the nutrition they need. Ask your local CHS retailer about the power of Moxin.
I look at this dairy cow, and again, it's the animal that I love. The things that this dairy cow can do and the way that she can produce milk, to me, there is no substitute for milk in the world. And to be able to keep cows and help cows produce that for people, to me, that's a privilege. I'm Dr. Bill Zimmer. Nutrition and microbials, commonly called probiotics. That's BioVet. Learn more at bio-vet.com.
Innovation, that's BioVet. On Wednesday, barrel cheese was unchanged. 40-pound block cheese in Chicago dropped a quarter of a cent to 192 and three quarters. Double A butter up six at 305 and a half. This morning, December corn's unchanged at 487. November new crop beans down two at 1199. July new crop wheat up four, 669 and three quarters. And June class three milks up 12, 2097. I'm PM Yonke.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
A chance of an isolated shower or thunderstorm through early this afternoon, then becoming partly cloudy with a high near 70 today. The wind will be out of the west at 5 to 15. Tonight, clear 49. Tomorrow, sunshine 80. Saturday, a late day thunderstorm, otherwise sunny with a high of 82. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 53.
The Todd Alba Show.
Trumpster asked the judge and said, hey, can I not come to court because I want to go to my son's graduation? So here now, from the raw story, Trump plans Minnesota fundraiser on the day of Barron's graduation. When I graduated, you have a get-together with family and friends. It's kind of a day. A parent shouldn't just be ducking in and out.
You have to be a parent for that. And he is a parent in name only. A pino.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Watch out!
You got me!
The galaxy is safe once again.
In the pretend universe, kids play with pretend guns. In the real world, it's up to us to make sure they don't get their hands on a real gun.
If you have a gun in the house, keep it locked, unloaded, and stored separately from ammunition. Safe Gun Storage saves lives. Learn how to make your home safer at nfamilyfire.org. That's nfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by N Family Fire, Brady, and the Ad Council.
Connecting with you on air, online, and on the Civic Media app. This is Lake Air 1260 AM, WLAK,
Amory's radio station.
It is time now on this Thursday morning to visit with Joe Zepecki and talk about some of the headlines as we start to cruise toward the weekend. Mr. Zepecki, how are you?
I'm okay, man. I'm tired. We've been on the road. Was out in Madison yesterday. Busy.
But where were you Monday? Where were you
Monday evening? I was at the baseball game with my better half and with my mom for a little belated Mother's Day, and came up a little short Monday evening. But the bats were going yesterday, weren't they?
Yeah, but and how about that eighth inning grand slam, Jake Bowers?
Electric. The most alive I've felt that place since game 7 of the NLCS a couple years back.
So, you know, you take those moments where you can. And sure do. I'm glad you got a chance to go. We've talked at length here about Republicans refusing to again try to find a solution to clean up polluted water in Wisconsin, and you know, we've already poked plenty of holes in there. In their case for their temper tantrum about Governor Evers vetoing it. But they came in and tried the veto attempt of an override anyway. And so my question to you as a, you know, somebody who's been the Capitol insider is why did they even meet to hold this performative session?
I think they think this is a game of hot potato or perhaps a worthwhile remix of the old Schoolhouse Rock song of how a bill becomes a law or how state money gets released. Unfortunately, I don't think anybody's buying it or falling for it, and the new remix doesn't make any sense. So to give people a sense of what the heck I'm talking about, during the state budget process, these dollars were included in the state budget that was passed by JFC, both houses of legislature, signed by the governor, untouched by line item vetoes, which means these dollars are now available under law to be released. And we can speculate in terms of the reasons why Republicans won't just release the funds. But I think what's happening here is they are starting to feel the pressure and realize they don't really have a leg to stand on. And so I think what they're trying to do is conjure up a scenario where they try to trick the public into believing that it's anyone other than their fault that these dollars have not been released. And so my understanding of Schoolhouse Rock and of how a bill becomes a law and how money becomes authorized is once it's authorized, it's authorized. You don't have to go through and do it a second time, which is what they tried to do several months ago. These were, of course, the vetoes that they were saying they were trying to override because they want to do this. This is all nonsense. It's just like it's just chum in the water to confuse people. The only people standing in the way of these dollars being released to address the PFAS crisis are Joint Finance Committee Republicans, full stop. They could do it literally today. They just have to do it.
A lot of people don't know that the earlier edition of Schoolhouse Rock that had been edited out was the part in there where they claimed the dog ate their homework. Anything that
left
that
on the cutting room floor.
Yes, I'm afraid so. Now the question has to be asked, and again, it's a process question, but I'm going to ask anyway. So they tried this veto override attempt, and that one was on the calendar, but is there still the chance for mischief? And I say this because it has happened in other states. Do the Dems still have to stay on their guard all the way through that Republicans could try to basically sneak into town and hold an override vote on all these various bills?
Probably. I mean, what has Robin Voss or Devin Lemahieu done this legislative session to earn the trust of Democratic legislators that they wouldn't try something like that. I think it was Leader Hesselbein described the antics this week as the last gasp of a dying majority. Republicans know that it's a new day in Wisconsin, and with new legislative maps, their days are numbered in terms of just being able to be guaranteed control of the legislature no matter what. And in a normal, healthy political party, what you would expect to see in this scenario is some olive branches, some moderation, some triangulation, if not moderation. Instead, you're seeing more governance by temper tantrum, or by trying to, you know, con the people of the state that it's somebody else's fault when it's their fault. And so I don't have confidence. And that's one of the problems, is there is no confidence that Republicans are acting in good faith at the state legislative level. And due to that fact, Democratic lawmakers have to remain vigilant through November, through January, and a new legislature being sworn in.
It's so funny how, I mean, you say all this, and if you say it to a Republican, they get so angry, they get so defensive. It's like, yeah, but you set this up. You set this up.
They have no one to blame but themselves, and they're making choices. Mm-hmm. And listen, I don't want to get into all of the back and forth of it, but I mean, I was in Madison. I heard some stories about Republican lawmakers who have been in previously safe districts and conducted themselves a certain way and are now asking for meetings with people that they would have never asked for meetings before and never thought they had to go and meet with.
I have seen the same thing happening. Right?
And you're just sort of like, under what scenario do these folks think that the way they've conducted themselves is going to get them that meeting, or that person with a role to play in public policy and in governance and in politics is going to have any give them any quarter listen to them for even 5 minutes?
We already know they're going to be like, well, I'm different, and I just couldn't do it as long as, you know, Voss or LeMahieu was telling me to do it. And I think a factor as well might be a headline that I saw for the first time from Dan Schaefer over in the recombobulation area, that state Senate Democrats have a candidate running in every race. For the first time in more than 20 years, there's a Democrat running in every district that's up this year. And that's a big feather in their cap.
It is. And these are not just any old Democrats. This is a really good recruiting class, some of whom I'll name check in a moment. And as I understand it, millions of dollars in ad reservations for the fall already made. Mm-hmm. Democrats are doing exactly what they are supposed to do, which is go for it. There's new maps. You got to go for it. And so whether it's Jamie Wahl up in Northeast Wisconsin, a former high-ranking commerce official, great guy, long-standing ties to the district, grew up on a farm in the Northeast part of the state, whether it's Sarah Kayeski and the new 14th mental health provider who has seen firsthand the impacts of policy choices in Madison on her patients and in a rural community that is suffering because of choices made by the legislature. These are candidates who are in touch with their district, match their district, and are going to give Republicans a real run for their money and a real run for the majority. Even if it's not this time, you know, in the Senate, we've often described it as sort of a two-cycle proposition, but I think we're going to make some headway in this first cycle. And that's what you have to do to make 2026 a potential flip on the Senate side.
Yeah, exactly. Meanwhile, in another part of the building, the state Supreme Court was meeting with its, you know, still new progressive majority and talking about drop boxes and potentially reversing course from what the court did when it was led by conservatives. Any impressions on the arguments that were made and whether is this a slam dunk or not that voters will, in fact, have absentee ballot drop boxes returned this year?
I don't think I'm to the point where I don't call anything a slam dunk in American politics or Wisconsin politics, but it sure seems like that's the way they are leaning, is to restore this safe, secure, helpful form of access to the franchise. And the sooner we can get to a place where there is sanity in all of our election administration, the better off we'll be. I don't want to neglect to mention, about 10 days ago, 2 weeks ago, Senator Tammy Baldwin held a great event, roundtable with some voting rights advocates, leaders from particularly the Black community, the Hispanic community, talking about at the federal level what can be done to provide some structure, some rules to the road, and to restore some sanity to the electoral process. Tammy Baldwin is a co-sponsor of both the John Lewis Voting Rights Advancement Act and the Freedom to Vote Act, two pieces of federal legislation that would normalize some of the rules of the road, provide more federal resources for states so they can do things like recruit poll workers, make sure there's enough bodies trained up and ready to go to administer elections. And we know that here in Wisconsin, this is a thing. It is a thing because of the big lie, because you have right-wing groups who continue to perpetuate misinformation, if not outright disinformation, about the way that our elections are conducted. One thing we could do, and probably will do if we send back Tammy Baldwin and enough Democratic senators, is finally pass the first voting rights legislation to help it make it easier to run elections in this country since the Help America Vote Act following the 2000 debacle, right? There used to be a time in this country where something crazy happened and then you dealt with it. The 2000 election was crazy. They passed a law. The 2020 big lie happened. We haven't passed any meaningful voting rights legislation yet. We got to get this done.
You mentioned right-wing groups a little bit earlier, and that reminds me that a legal group, the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty, or WILL, recently put out, what was it, an op-ed or an essay?
In the Journal Sentinel, yeah.
That was, tisk-tisking the city of Milwaukee for having a what's called a central count facility. In other words, instead of counting the ballots at all the poll sites on election day, all the ballots are brought to one site for expedited counting. And they're saying, well, you know, that doesn't work and it makes Milwaukee look suspicious. Joe, you and I both know the reason Milwaukee and all the other big cities report their votes late in the night is they are great big cities. And Republicans had a chance to remove some of that look in this last session and purposefully chose not to.
Yeah, they left the Monday absentee ballot processing bill untouched. That's a choice that Republicans have made because they want to be able to cry foul. And listen, I want to acknowledge that Will has been more responsible than many Republicans when it comes to 2020 and the election that was. What is not helpful is when they suggest that there is anything untoward about central count and point directly at Milwaukee when there's also central count in Racine, in Green Bay, in a handful of other communities. And this continuance of perpetuating this just nonsense, it makes me think that if I, for a day, was the editor of the opinion page of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, and I was forced, you know, against my will to run this op-ed, that in the, like, who wrote it part, I would just stick that guy in the hot dog costume meme where he says, we're all trying to figure out who did this. That should be, you know, part of what's happening here.
Mm-hmm. It should be. That's perfect. That might be, that should maybe be their new logo. Maybe. Obviously since late yesterday, all through today, and I know I'm going to talk about it tomorrow with a couple of guests, the debate about debates. But can we start first by acknowledging a little bit of surprise, on my part at least, that there looks like there will be at least the first debate in June between President Biden and former President Trump. And frankly, even that's not a guarantee, but still a little surprised.
As I said just a few minutes ago, nothing is for certain. There are no slam dunks in American politics anymore. I am here to eat crow on maybe this radio product and certainly on other ones. I have been very dismissive of the notion of debates because I don't know how you debate against Donald Trump, who is someone who, if his lips are moving, is lying and who does not follow the rules. That's part of why most of his weeks are spent in a courtroom these days. And so I think it was pretty smart of the Biden campaign to say, sure, let's go, man. You say anytime, anywhere. Let's pick a date. I love the Joe Biden video saying, I hear you're free on Wednesdays. Little subtle jab. But the fine print on the challenge that the Biden campaign put out included mics will be cut. And I think that is the big thing. I'm not totally convinced that Donald Trump will actually show up for this debate in June. I hope so. I think it would be great for the American people to see these two gentlemen side by side and understand that Donald Trump is a fraction of who he was years ago has gone further round the bend, as they say, and that Joe Biden is in command of the facts and is leading with empathy and an understanding of what actually makes this country great, which is the American people and the middle class who built it. So bring it on, and let's not count any chickens before they hatch on June 27th.
Exactly. And again, tomorrow I'll talk to Jennifer Schultz and Mark Jacob more about this topic. Joseph Packey, thank you so much. As always, have a good weekend.
You too, man.
Today's history lesson is next. You're up north.
Lake Air, 1260 AM, WLAK.
1, 2, 3.
What you doing?
4, 5, 6. Counting the first place awards from the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association.
WISS in Oshkosh for the best promo. WAUK in Waukesha, best Maggie Dawn Show web story. WMDX in Madison, best web story about the Max Inc. radio show. And WFHR in Wisconsin Rapids for best show, interview, and promo.
Informed, entertained, connected.
And winning.
Your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
So I have super parallel parking skills. And on the east side where I live, I will often sit on my front porch and like a play-by-play call as if it was a sport. Parallel parking to me is a sport. I'm the Stephen A. Smith of parallel parking. That should go on a t-shirt.
We'll get you one made.
Oh my gosh.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to Lake Air WLAK, Amory's home for Matt and Air on Air.
Sing it, Greg. My guy. Nothing you could do, cause I'm we're practically the Pips here. That's not Gladys Knight. That's Mary Wells, who hit number one on this day in 1964. Welcome to today's history lesson and musical memories for this, I've lost the date, May 16th already, 2024.
We got to hear this twice in a, we heard last week too.
Yes, we did.
Yeah. Great song.
Motown reasons. Here we go.
My guy.
See, now I'll just go back and I'll edit those in and we won't sound out of sync at all. It's going to be perfect in the best of show.
My guy.
We have 6 different song clips that we're going to play. And if I'd had the time and the technical prowess, I would have put a little something together with all 6 of these together, just the intros, just like the first 10 seconds of every one of them, because I think almost everybody here would go 6 out of 6. They're just very popular songs and very distinct in the introductions. You heard that at the top of My Guy, you know that that's Mary Wells.
Mm-hmm.
The next one would be from 2 years later in 1966, when a young woman was born who is 58 years old today. That would be Janet Jackson. Yeah, and you hear this, you just know you're going to be hearing,
yeah,
you're going to be hearing something that was produced by Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis, and you're going to like it. There's just no way around it.
It's just this song, there's those songs that remind me of waking up in the 80s for grade school.
Yeah.
The hits that were on every hour and a half. This was one of them.
Rhythm Nation 1814, one of the cassettes that basically got worn out, you know, from playing it so much. So Janet Jackson is 58 today. Her late brother Michael did the moonwalk on TV for the first time on this day in 1983. During the Motown 25th anniversary special. And I was one of those in the audience watching on TV going, what did I just see? You know, you're looking for the wires or whatever.
Is there ice on that stage?
Right. Exactly. Let's see. So that was Michael Jackson. Janet Jackson was born this day in 1966. On that same day that Janet Jackson was born, in your record stores that day, the Beach Boys released Pet Sounds, one of the all-time great albums of the early rock and roll era that had hits like God Only Knows, Sloop John B., and talk about your distinctive introductions.
There is a Wisconsin connection to birthdays today. Liberace was born this day in 1919 in West Allis.
Nice!
Wisconsin's very own piano aficionado. Passed away in 1987. On this day in 2000, Britney Spears' second album, Oops, I Did It Again, was released and would go on to sell nearly 1.5 million copies in its first week alone.
Wow.
On this day in 1970, Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young scored their first number one album with Deja Vu, several hits there, including Teach Your Children Well and Woodstock. See, we're still playing the best intros segment that we've had in a long time.
Oh, just. I was saying to Jane, Crosby, Stills, and Nash is good, but Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Young is perfect. Mm-hmm. Except for that 80s record. That was trash.
Now you're saying, okay, well, those four are good. That's probably the most distinctive of the intros, right?
Right, we're done, right? We just right? pack it up. Go home.
No. No, you're wrong.
No,
you're wrong.
No.
Now we've moved our way up to 1978, where Joe Walsh on this day released his album called But Seriously, Folks, and you know the single that came out of that. It's going to be a lot of air guitar going on here in a moment. And then everybody brings it up like about a half a notch here, you know, for this part.
You put your knee on the steering wheel and you're just like...
Yep. And now they get ready for the big jam. People are saying, would they stop talking so I can just hear this? And no, this is a talk show. The album was released this day in 1978. On this day in 1980, Paul McCartney released his second self-recorded album. It was called McCartney 2. Wings had just broken up, and it was named that because in 1970, 10 years earlier, right after the Beatles had broken up, he released an album that was simply called McCartney. On this day in 1987, U2 had their first number one hit in the U.S. from the Joshua Tree album. Folks kind of know this intro to With or Without You as well.
Pat, I've heard this song maybe like 500 times, and that's not neither a joke nor a knock. I still get goosebumps when I hear that intro. I got goosebumps.
Look at that. I can
right
see that
now.
Right through the camera there. Yeah.
I got the goose pimples.
So there you go. Six out of six very distinctive intros on today's history lesson. Today is National Mimosa Day, which I reject because Mimosa Day has to be on a Sunday, right?
Oh,
it's a Sunday brunch staple.
Yes, absolutely.
So I don't know who decided May 16th. It really should be like probably whatever Mother's Day is. Like what is that? The third, second Sunday in May?
Yeah.
It should be Mimosa second Day as well.
Have you ever had a beer mosa, Pat?
No.
Oh, it's tasty.
I haven't had that or a beer garita.
I've never had a beer garita, but beer mosas are tasty.
Really?
Yeah,
okay.
Make sure the beer is simple. Don't put like a really complex IPA, just like High Life. And
yeah,
there you go.
Well, I mean, it makes sense from a guy who, you know, had a couple of Liney Summer Shandies yesterday, you know, while grilling. And I know that they have a commercial basically called Wisconsin Fruit Salad for all the different beers that they have. So yeah, why would Liney's, if you're listening, beer mosa, make it happen. Today is global. Yeah, I have that kind of power. I'm in Chicago.
I can tell. My goodness.
It's Global Accessibility Awareness Day. It's National Barbecue Day. It's National Biographers Day. It's National Piercing Day. No, thank you. It's National Sea Monkeys Day, if you're into teeny tiny goofy looking shrimp.
Or National Letdown Day.
Yes. Look, they're sea monkey. No, they're whatever they're.
It's water dust.
I paid for this. It's National Unicycle Day. And finally, it's National Aperitif Day.
Oh.
An aperitif is a refreshing alcoholic drink served before a meal to stimulate the appetite. It's a liquid appetizer.
Okay.
Also known as, you know, a beer or whatever you're having before dinner. We've got Women Win Wisconsin, powered by Motherhood for Good, and much more in our second hour of Up North News Radio, live from Lake Wasota on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm back right now.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Siskel and Ebert producer John Davies and meteorologist Brittany Merlot joins the show to discuss tick season. Should be a great show.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9. What does cheese, beer, and you have to do with local radio?
I know. It's Todd Alba and the Trick V. Olsen's What Makes Wisconsin Great Tour.
To get out of your own little silo and just listen to folks, you find out Wisconsin is pretty darn great already.
It's great to be from Wisconsin, Todd. It's just such a fantastic place.
Miss them in your town, more visits, and your chance to connect coming up.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and the app. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298 DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.